Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power. Sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, God, you're sizing up every person right now to know what they need. So, I ask you to teach us and lead us and guide us and bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand this word, each and every one, so that even a little child would be able to understand this. Make it clear, God. Make it understandable. And God, I thank you that the entrance of your word, whenever it comes in on the scene, it brings its own light. So bring to us that illumination. Don't leave us living in darkness any longer, but bring to us this light of your word. It is a lamp unto our feet, it is a light unto our path. And we'll give you glory, God. We'll make sure that everybody knows it's because of you that we have this life that you've given to us, because you came to give us life and it more abundantly. And I remind the enemy, though he comes immediately to steal the word, you said that twice, God, in your word, at least, we cancel his assignment. You told us also that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, so we cancel his assignment. Your appointment with us is canceled. You have no right to the proceedings going on in this church today. And this word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, I declare it. And I remind you, Satan, you will spend time in the lake of fire. Though you like to torment us, I torment you with that thought. There is no remedy for you. I saw it. God showed me in a vision that lake, and that's your home soon. So you just get on out of here. We resist the devil. You must flee. Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I'm a doer, as well as a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. Amen. All right, go ahead and be seated, please. I have a question. I've been asking it, not really gotten an answer. We're trying to find out. Why does God's kids go prodigal? Why do your kids go prodigal? A lot of us have children that go wayward on us. They just go away from the way that we taught them to live, and we don't know why, but we do have a promise from God that we've trained them up in the way they should go, not the way they want to go, or not the way you want them to go, that they'll return to that way of training. Sometimes it takes forever in your mind to be able to see them return. Well, God is, I've said it to you, God is the biggest loser when it comes to parenting, because he created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, and they messed up. Had a couple of children, one was a murderer. Had Noah come along, and all of a sudden he's drunk and naked. David becomes the king. Woo! He's the king, he's the king, he's the king. And he has adultery. Solomon, his son, becomes a king, and he has 800 wives and 700 girlfriends. You can't win for losing. God keeps trying to put people here again and again and again and again. Again. But Jesus came. And Jesus did not fail. He came, and it's in this production coming up. There's a song that says he was born to die. And I heard that, and I said, what an amazing thing that the reason we celebrate his birth is because he came to die. People buy gifts and all kinds of stuff, not knowing why we are so excited about this time of the year. I know it's not December 25th. Some say it's around September. Some of the Jewish sages say it's somewhere around. Who gives a rip? We're just trying to celebrate that it did happen. You can't say it didn't happen. Whenever it happened, because whether you know when it happened or not ain't going to make a big hill of beans. But what we do know is that it happened. He was born to die for your sins and for my sins. Imagine holding that little baby, hours old,
thinking that that child was born to die. And die early. 33 and a half years old is not that old. He died early. So I really believe the Spirit of God dropped in my heart the reason why prodigals go prodigal. And we're talking about this because we're going to talk about the prodigal son's brother. Because he had issues too. Because, see, the father was so patient with both of them and just waited for them. Didn't scold them, didn't beat them up, didn't try to, you know, jerk them around or whatever. And we have to learn how to be that way ourselves in our own minds about our own selves, because we can beat ourselves up when we see maybe your child go prodigal, or maybe someone that you've been trying to work with go prodigal on God, and you blame yourself. And God wanted me to be able to free up, first of all, the physical parents in this household. You remember I showed you the checklist for the 747, that there's no way for you to do all the things on that checklist and to call out those, what they call these speeds, by yourself and then answer them. We just saw a plane crash. They were calling out these speeds when it crashed. B1, B2, VR, which is rotate, you take that nose up, and something happened. It didn't stay coming up. 14 people died or more, who knows. And we prayed for the chief pilot. And Houston, if you're watching, we prayed for the chief pilot, Houston Mills, who we had just met, my wife and I, in July, here in Tacoma at a convention for pilots. He's a chief pilot for the United Parcel Service. African-American man that's so sharp, speaks so well. And my heart goes out to him and everyone at UPS. But see, you can't do this stuff by yourself. And I can imagine in that cockpit, they couldn't see necessarily the wing on fire, or maybe they saw maybe a little bit of smoke or something like that on that left side. That plane was supposed to be climbing and it was falling. Big plane, MD-11. So if you can't fly something mechanical like that for about maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes to get it off the ground and get it to level flight at about 500 to 1,000, maybe 1,500 feet. If you can't do that with two people, how are you going to raise a family with one? You're going to spend 18, 20 years trying to raise that child. It was not, and I try to help you to understand this without trying to feel like I'm putting people down. I'm not trying to put people down. I'm just saying congratulations. If you've raised a child and you've been a single parent, we need to be patting you on the back. That's a miracle. Because like the 747, there's a long checklist for 18 to 20 years that you do to get that child off the ground. So I was asking God about this. And about the prodigal, and then I stopped asking, and then he just came to me. He said, the reason why kids go prodigal, including his own, because of unthankfulness, not having a thankful heart. If you had a thankful heart, you wouldn't do your father like that. I'm talking about God the Father. See, because God has taken care of you. I said God has taken care of you. Whether you had one parent or five, God took care of you. And we need to thank God for taking care of us. I thank God I had a great father. I had a wonderful father. He had his own quirks, but I just thank God for him. He was a good example. And actually, I was going to wear one of his hats. He was actually a first sergeant, but he would have stayed in longer. He wouldn't have been sergeant major, which is as high as you can go enlisted. I was without becoming a warrant officer, but I'm saying to myself, I'm thankful for my dad. But I'm more thankful for my Heavenly Father. Because where my dad messed up, my Heavenly Father is taking care of me. And actually, to be honest with you, I've watched this a lot with my wife, who has no father or mother. She's like Melchizedek. She has no father, no mother on the planet. She never knew him. She doesn't remember him.
And so I've watched this ever since we've been married. She was 18, I was 19 when we got married. I wish we would have been younger. Actually, I'm so glad we got married young. No, I'm just kidding. Not younger. But I'm thankful that we did get married. Now been married almost 52 years. And I give God the glory. That's where the clap goes, because this is all God, because this show shouldn't be like this. It's, you know, because God is good. But see, the thing is that what I'm trying to say to you is that we got to keep a thankful heart. You know, I've found out that the older most people get, not everybody, but the older most people get, the more thankful they become. I'm finding myself do that. Now, of course, I went through a traumatic thing for 6.5 years, but other than that, I am really finding myself being like that. I watched my dad do that. He grew into his 80s and was relatively ambulatory. I mean, he could get around. And I watched him, and he was just, you know, just anything. He'd get some ketchup on his french fries. Thank God for that ketchup. It's just ketchup, Dad. Oh, you know, there had to be a farmer. Somewhere there's a trucker that brought me my ketchup. I'm like, okay, man. Let's just eat the food, okay? Yeah, boy, you better be thankful. Yeah, okay, Dad. I'm sorry. Okay. This is sort of overkill. Anyhow, so I've watched this, and, you know, if you think about it, a lot of times, and we'll see it in Scripture here, we're not thankful because we don't know who we really are. Now, last time we were together, go with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Last time we were together, we dealt with this. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll act like a fool. You will. You are a child of God if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Nobody should be messing with you because they're going to get their rear end kicked. Now, maybe you used to going through all kinds of challenges and the devil's always playing games with you. But that should be stopping right now. So 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 17, I want to drill this in you a little bit more. This is where the Lord wants us to go, but we got a lot of places to go. I don't know when we're going to finish this teaching. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. See, you should have some boldness about your life. Everybody wants to come out of the closet, and even the closet's coming out of the closet. Everybody's out of the closet. All of a sudden, we got all these different people with all these different issues. I think it's a lie. I think it's all in their head. And the reason why I can say that is because now all of a sudden, certain people are saying, well, I'm really not that. You wasn't that in the first place. We see this stuff going, vacillating back and forth. You can't get excited about the trends of the world. The world changes all the time. Don't make any difference. But we need to be bold as believers, because you are either going to be bold or you're going to be weak. And bold is better. We have boldness. You have that boldness. You just got to let it out. That when people start talking stupid, I don't mean go on a job and get fired tomorrow, but what I'm saying is when people start talking stupid, you got to learn how to talk God talk. Now, you don't start pulling out your Bible and quoting scriptures, but you should have enough word into you that some of that stuff starts coming out while you're talking. And it's anointed. It's a sword, a two-edged sword. So it says, love has been perfected or matured among us. That love has been perfected. It's been matured among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You need to have boldness all the way to the day of judgment. Don't you ever be scared of judgment. I'm talking about God's judgment. First of all, you're not going to be part of the white throne judgment. That's for the unbelievers. You already have been escaped that. That's the one where they come before the Lord on the white throne judgment, and Jesus looks in the book, and he's searching for names with lightning speed through this book. You're not there. You don't get to stay here. You want your name in that book. And see, you don't get the name in the book by just going sitting up in a church. Or for that matter, singing in the choir. Or ushering. Ushering. I always had a problem. Is it usher? No, you can usher all day long. You can pass containers till your fingers are bleeding. It's not going to get you in heaven. And it's not going to save you in the day of judgment. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you got to do it like Nicodemus, do it like Nicodemus. Come by night, meaning come when ain't nobody looking. And say, excuse me, personal worker. I understand you help people to get saved. I need Jesus, but nobody knows. They think I'm already saved. Get your life straightened with that. You don't have to go around and tell everybody. Tell a few folks, hey, I got saved. Do it however you need to do it, but you need to have boldness even in the day of judgment. I am not afraid of the day of judgment. I'm looking for that day. I want Jesus to come. If he busts through those cumulus nimbus clouds tomorrow, I'm ready to go. Are you? See, we got to be bold about this because you're doing all you can. You're living the best you can. You're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. Folks say, well, I'll go to church when the people are perfect. Well, you ain't never going to go to church. This is a washing machine, and all kinds of dirty stuff ends up in there. And even Clorox can't help it. Shoot, man. Give it up. So it was clean until you got here. You the dirty clothes. See, we all are that dirty clothes, you know. You ever gone down there and smell them clothes before you put them in that washing machine? No, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't hurt yourself, okay? We have to have boldness in the day of judgment. You need to come around. Oh, Lord, don't put that in my. You know what you smell like, but you're still bold. You know you got some stuff to work on, but you still be bold. Because if you wait until you get it perfect, you'll never have boldness. Because the enemy is an accuser of the brethren. He'll always come to you and try to tell you something that's messed up about you or something about your life that stinks. So we have to be bold. You have to make a decision. I'm bold for the Lord. You may be going through. You may be hurting. My wife and I, we were teaching teens. We lost our house and lost our car. And we ain't telling kids nothing. We had about 75 teens we were teaching at one of the churches here in Tacoma before I started pastoring. And we'd come in there every Wednesday night with them teens, and we had a young man that was a fireman and a couple others, and he played the guitar, and he would stand on the chair and play the guitar. We was just praising the Lord and acting crazy, but then we'd go home and wonder where we're going to live. Mm-hmm. But we had faith that God was going to take us through. See, the builder stole our money when we were building the house. He stole the money instead of paying all of the subcontractors. He would hire somebody to pour the concrete, and then he would keep the money and not pay the contractor. Have somebody come and drop the wood, put the lumber up. And here's the real weird part about it. I wanted to learn how to do construction. So I asked him, can I help to build my house? And he said, sure. I came out there and pounded nails with this guy, ate lunch with him while he's sitting there looking at me, stealing my money. He wasn't a Christian. See, but we went through that, see, because we wasn't broke. We just got stolen from. Just like I wasn't sick for 6.5 years, I got poisoned in the hospital. So it doesn't matter what comes your way. You stay bold. I don't care if people laughing at you. You stay bold. Mm-hmm. Stay bold, because the world knows how to be bold. When they're full of sin, idiots running around saying stupid stuff that don't even make no sense. Bold as they can be, and we sit there as little Christians. Well, pray my strength in the Lord. Pray your own strength. I ain't praying nothing for you. Suck at you. You're a weak thing. Pray your own strength. You don't pray anyhow. Pray my strength in the Lord. What am I going to do? Like, do some push-ups for me. Do some, you know, run around the building 14 times for me and then hand it to you, right? That don't work. You pray your own strength in the Lord. That's why you're not strong, because you've been waiting for people to pray for you, and they don't even pray. You think they pray. I'm going to go pray. Stop trying to pray at night. You're going to sleep. I thought you was praying. Yeah, I was. Sure. We got it. Boldness. Say boldness. Say, God, give me holy boldness. God, just like I am, right where I am, give me holy boldness in Jesus' name. So we have boldness in the day of judgment even because this is the cause that be. The cause that be for you having boldness is now you got all your little duckies in a row. That's not it. It's not, well, everything's been prim and proper and everything's been ironed and creased perfectly. That's not how this works. You're never going to get it perfect. I tell our leaders all the time. I said, we got another training coming up. By the way, you will never be having the label stamped on your forehead, trained. You will never be trained because we always got something changing. So we got to train you again. You'll never finish training. Because the cause it be that we can have boldness as he, capital H-E, as he is, not as he was. Oh, he went on the cross and he suffered and they beat him. They pulled his beard and they hurt him and they stuck him in the side. Now that's how he was. He did all that for you and me, and we need to never forget that. But if you're going to live in victory, if you're going to live in boldness, you got to remember that he went through that, and he ain't still there. Because then you want to sit there and suffer like you're getting your beard pulled out, and you ain't even got a beard. As he is, so are we when we get to heaven. No, when I get it together. When I get more money, when I get a new car, when I get the best girlfriend I ever found, when I can go to the casino, when I can spend money and not even notice it. As he is, so are we in this world. You are as he is, so are we. You are as he is, you are as he is. You are not as he was, you are not as he was. You are not to be suffering for the Lord. You're gonna suffer. Believe me, you're going to go through some stuff. But ain't no sense in you assigning yourself to something. The stuff's going to come to you. Believe me, the stuff will hit that fan. You're going to have enough stuff to deal with, but ain't no sense in you stacking some stuff on yourself to make yourself feel sorry for yourself. Because as he is, not as he was, as he is, not as he was, he is not on the cross anymore. He's not getting poked in the side. He does not have a crown of thorns on his head anymore. He is not bleeding like that. That's how he was. He's not sick. So you don't have to be sick. As he is, so are you. Is he sick? Is he broke? Is he depressed? Then why are you? Oh, you gotta take this with some faith, because this will knock your socks off. You better take this with some faith, because you can't just sit there and go through your mind. Yes, I can see that. If you can see it, you can't believe it. You just believe this stuff. You just blatantly, duh, that's what God said. I got it. That's it. As he is, so are we in this world. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Remember we said that? That's what this is talking about. As he is. Now, instead of wearing, and there's nothing wrong with doing this. You can wear a cross with Jesus on it if you want to all day. You can have 15 of them on you, okay? Doesn't matter. But you got to keep your mind together. He ain't on that cross. I have yet to see a person with a chain and a little figurine of Jesus on the throne. I ain't seen one yet. Maybe we'll come up with one. New product. He is not still on the cross. Thank God he went on the cross, or else you could not be where you are. No cross, no new life.
No cross, no salvation. You need Jesus on the cross. But we can't leave him there because he didn't stay there. He is now in authority at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, praying that you don't have to go through all the stuff he went through. And even if you do, he'll pray you through it. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is. Say it with me. Say, as he is. As he is. Say, as he is. As he is. See, we got to get a vision of as he is, because a lot of, while we're saying as he is, like, where is he? How is he? How was Jesus? What is Jesus? As he is, I know how he was because I read that all the time. But as he is at the right hand of the Father. Do you know he is not stressed out about anything? Do you know that all the 39 root diseases that he had when he went on the cross, they're gone? Do you know that his body is not bleeding? Do you know he's not stressed out, that he's not in anguish like he was in the garden, sweating blood because of the anxiety? That's how he was. As he is now, he's cool, calm, and collected. He's sitting there praying for you next to the Father. And you know what you should be? Cool, calm, and collected. Don't sweat about nothing. Don't worry about nothing. You are not built to worry. I don't have enough money. So what? You don't need money. Sometimes you just need favor. Forget the money. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. So what? Jesus didn't know how he was going to pay for all your sins either. But he did it. I don't know if I'm going to get healed. Well, if you keep saying you don't know how you're going to get healed, you ain't going to get healed. Go with me to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23, we got to deal with an issue that a lot of believers need to deal with. And that is with what they say. We're going to wash your mouth out with soap. I had one preacher I used to run with, and every once in a while he'd have a Freudian slip and cuss. And I started walking around. I said, I'm gonna hang with you one more time. But I said, I got this, and I had a bar of ivory soap. I said, you cuss one more time, I'm washing your mouth out with this soap. He ain't cuss. I said, but I can't take that, man. You're a man of God. You can't be cussing up in here. For surely I say to you, whoever, please underline whoever, because you are the whoever we're talking about. Whoever says to this mountain. All right, first let's go back. Mark 11:23. Is that 23? Is that 23? Let's go to 22. Or maybe even 21. Let's go to 22. I gotta make it right. I gotta do it right. We're almost done now. Get some notes now. But Jesus said to them, have faith in God. It does not say have faith in job. Especially if you work for the government, that would be a problem right about now. All right. Have faith in Bob. Your boss's name is Bob. No, don't have faith in Bob. Have faith in snobs. The people that can't stand you, but you got to work with them. Now, you have faith in God, capital G-O-D. Have faith in God. I don't care what's happening. Don't you ever lose hope. I've been teaching this on Wednesday. I'm telling you, don't you ever lose hope. If you lose hope, there's no hope for you. There's no, because see, you, in order to use faith, to have faith in God, you got to have hope before that. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So if you have no hope for your life, you have no hope for your finances, you have no hope for your healing, you have no hope, then what we need faith for? Because faith is what makes hope come to pass. And the Lord asked me a question just now. He said, how do we know you got hope? And then he said, by your mouth And some of you most hopeless people, when we listen to your conversations, we say stuff we don't want. Why call the dog when you really want the cat? Our dog's name is Mr. Snuggles. Stop laughing at my dog. Mr. Snuggles does whatever we want him to do. When we want Mr. Snuggles, we call Mr. Snuggles. We don't have a cat, so we don't call for cats. Those of you that are cat ladies or cat men here, I don't care about cats. I don't like cats. I had to study cats when I took karate, and they're weird. That's why we had to study them. We even had a cat stance that we had to have. Have faith in the right person, thing, God. Don't have faith in the circumstances, because circumstances change. Now, please write this down. Faith is not facts. See, because you may have some facts, but faith is not made up of facts. Facts change. When I was in radio and television and doing broadcasts and stuff like that, secular, a lot of times I had to use statistics, and I would gather some statistics, or whoever I was going to interview, whatever, would send some press release or press kit with statistics, and we quote the statistics. But stats change. At the moment that we read them, that they're reported, it's fact. But fact is not faith, because you got to use truth in the kingdom of God to build faith. It's a fact you're broke, or it's a fact you're sick, or it's a fact you really are depressed. But the truth of the matter is, as he is, so are we in this world. So kick that depression right where it hurts. Kaboom! Get out of my life. Kick that sickness, kick it to the side. In fact, what you really should do is that you should be so busy with the Lord until you ain't got time to get sick. Sickness got to chase you to find you. You should be so excited about the things of God and running into the things of God until sickness can't even find your address, because you never stay nowhere. You're always running for the Lord. Say amen to that. So the Bible says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Unless you get this, the rest of what we're about to read don't mean a doggone thing. And so many of us, we have faith in our job. We have faith in our career. We have faith in our professor. Let me say this to you. Stop replacing your pastor with your professor. Just because you went to that school and he had a big forehead and talked all that stuff, I've been a professor. I've been a professor myself. I've taught in college level, but you can't do that. You got to make the word of God the main thing in your life, or else you're going to mess it up. And this is the problem that we have, is that we make the wrong thing important to us. Your professor has a place in your life. But when you replace your university with replace the church with your university and your professor instead of your pastor, you got a problem. Because he ain't going to give you what thus says the Lord. You can't build faith off of what he says. Unless it's a Christian organization, you're learning Christian word in that Christian college. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting an education. I probably got more than what I need. But I'm saying, don't make that your God. Have faith in God. I said, have faith in God. I'm going to say it again. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in your circumstances. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Don't have faith in your circumstances. Your circumstances will change. Just live long enough. It'll change. I don't care what it is. It is going to change. You are going to see a change in your life. Something is going to change. Something's got to give. It's not going to stay the same. It's not going to stay the same.
And so if you put your heart on what's going on right now, you messed yourself up because now you're locked in. And this is what happens with a lot of times. People go through situations and something happens and then people find out about it, but then you'd have moved on and they still think the same thing's going on. What are you talking about? We can't even remember what you're talking about. It's over. It's been over. You're just still back there. Well, the same thing with Jesus. Jesus did die on the cross. Thank God. If he didn't, we would all be out of here. We wouldn't even need the church. Jesus did die on the cross. That thing's telling me to stop. Should I? Okay, I'll take a couple more minutes. My wife, they gave me 25. No, I'm just kidding. They gave me 5. They took the 2 off. Let me just finish this, because this is important stuff. If you do not have faith in God, you're going to have faith in something. Something will become the one that you trust more than God. And some of you are Christians, and you still do that. I got one word for you. Casino. People go down there and just, I got to win. I got to win. You ain't going down there just for that dinner. I know they have some pretty good dinners. I like to go to dinner at the casino. You end up at that table all the time. Stop lying. You lying thing. We know how to get you fixed. You need Jesus. You need to love Jesus more than that casino table. Hey, amen. Y'all didn't know I knew there was a table in there, did you? But see, what we have to do is we have to be able to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. I'm trying to drill this in. This is my assignment. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Ooh, this looks like, have faith in God. Oh, there was a tornado. Have faith in God. There's a hurricane coming. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. They're laying off. Have faith in God. Ain't got no money to make. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in my mama, my daddy, my cousin. They're going to all help me if I ever get. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, here's what's really cool. When you can be able to have you and your spouse having faith in God. That's really what's cool. Because one chase 1,000, 2, 10,000. Exponentially, you got 10 times as much. It's not just 2,000. You got 10,000 going against the enemy. That's why the enemy want to mess up you and your relationship with God. So now, have faith in God. Can we go to this next verse? Okay, we got that. We're going to have faith in God, right? Let me quickly do this. It says, for surely, Jesus says, surely. Now, I'm reading out of New King James. I like it out of King James better, but I'll go ahead and teach you because they got it up there. For surely, I say to you, no, I'll go to the King James. No. Yeah, I gotta get the juice out of this. For verily, verily, I say to you, I say unto you that whoever, man, I see myself as a whosoever. If it's gonna work for anybody, it's gonna work for me. Some of y'all, you disqualify yourself. I don't disqualify myself from nothing. I mean nothing. Well, even when I was coming in broadcasting, got into broadcasting, my broadcasting instructor right here in Tacoma at the Technical College was telling us black students, most black students don't make it that well. They just don't know how to talk, you know. And this is before they had, black folks on television, I don't know, this is 50 years ago. I don't know if you're going to be able to make it or not because for some reason they usually can't read that well. Now, this guy had worked at the radio, the television station in Yreka, California. You ever seen it? No, you've never seen Yreka. It is so small, if you blink, you'll pass it. And he's trying to tell us we ain't going to make it. And some of the students believed him. That's the sad part about it. I said, you watch me. You've been to Yreka. You're going to wonder why you were Yreka. Because, see, success in the kingdom, see, because I was a believer then, success in the kingdom shows up the enemy. The problem is a lot of people get success, but they don't give God the glory for it. So it didn't matter if you're successful in the kingdom or not, because you're a Secret Service Christian, you ain't going to tell nobody that God was the one that brought you through. But if you take that challenge as something that you and God going to win over. So I ended up working for the ABC affiliate, working for all kinds of television stations, owning a radio station, hosting and producing television programs. I'm the executive producer and producer of our television program. Got people like my sons inspired, and the guy that's the operations manager, whatever he is, at Como Television. They came through this ministry. But the enemy will tell you a fact, and maybe it was true, that a lot of black folks didn't know how to talk. I wasn't one of them, and I wasn't going to become one of them. Because that will cause you to just quit. Well, same thing with aviation. Seems like I take on areas that, you know, sort of hard to get into. 1% of African Americans in aviation back in 1970, 74, 68. Now it's a whopping 2%. Now, how many are sitting in the seats back there? Ain't just 2%. And of course, you know the joke about aviation. I'll say this and I got to quit. Joke about aviation is the reason why the 747 have a hump over there by the cockpit is so that the captain of the jet can be able to sit down because his wallet is so big. They make $400,000 a year and fly over the world, seeing the world. Now, you may not want to do that, but whatever you want to do, you need to not listen to facts. You need to listen to the truth, because as he is, so are you in this world. Jesus is a victor, not a victim, and you're not a victim either. I said you're not a victim. I don't care what color you are. You are not a victim. I don't care what gender you are. You are not a victim. If you come into the kingdom of God, you are a winner going somewhere to win. Let's make a confession. I'll get back to this next week. Say, I am what God says that I am. As he is, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. Now close your eyes, because I want you to visualize. You visualize yourself as a victor, not a victim. Visualize yourself as winning, not losing. Because some of us, we always grew up with people telling us that we were stupid or dumb, or we're not a winner, or we're never going to have anything, you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to be this idea. You got to throw those words away. You got to cast down imaginations, as we learned last week. You got to cast down that imagination. That imagination is not from God. You got it exalts itself against you getting to know God, because when you get to know God, you're not going to think like that. You are somebody. You are a special person. You are somebody very special. God created you with a purpose. You need to live that purpose and be bold about it and say, I'm living God's purpose. You don't have to run around here with curiosity of who you are. You are a child of God. You may have been something else earlier. Forget that. You are not that. You are the King's kid. Say, I am what God says that I am. I have what God says that I have. I can do what God says that I can do. God, today, let me live this out. I want to live by faith, live by your word, because as he is, as he is, as he is, as he is, as Jesus is, the victor, not the victim, the one on the throne, as he is, so am I in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout and a praise. You're somebody special.